AG1.
What's up? I'm here to talk to you about AG1 Athletic Greens again. You know, it's important to me that the supplements I take are high quality, and that's why I've been taking AG1 for, what is it now, 4 years, 3.5 years or something like that? The thing I like about it is it's researched and developed by an in-house team of scientists, doctors, and nutritionists with decades of experience in their fields. So you know it ain't BS, it's AG. They are the real deal. I've been drinking it for so long. Quality for AG1 isn't a buzzword. They really push hard. Expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, rigorous testing. They got it all. At each step of the process, AG1 is going above and beyond. Now, what I like about them, first of all, you can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's an NSF certified for sport, which is like a rigorous, independent quality. They've tested for over 950 contaminants, banned substances. The industry standard apparently is only testing for 10. Dude, it's 95 times as rigorous. And it's not complicated. It's so simple. It's just replacing health supplements like multivitamins, digestive aids, immune support, in just one simple scoop. It takes 60 seconds. You don't have to swallow a bunch of pills on an empty stomach. Boom. And as I always say, you get a little bit of water in there too. Get that day started. So with the water, and then for me, the prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support is probably the most important ingredient. I eat a pretty varied diet, so I get my nutrition from a lot of places, but I got to eat more fermented foods. But AG1 lets me have this prebiotics and probiotics first thing in the morning. Take care of my digestive enzymes, which if you're a listener of the podcast, you know I need help with. All right. Look, I've partnered with AG1 for so long because they make a high-quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every day. I chug down an AG1 maybe within 10 minutes of getting out of bed. It's the way I start my day every day, even on the road. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/mighty. That's DRINKAG, the number one, .com/MIGHTY. drinkag1.com/mighty.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. Johnny G. Joining me as always in the High and Mighty studios is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Give him a shout out. That's all you're going to get from him, folks. Maybe some gnawing, maybe some chewing. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, the person I'm so excited to have on as a guest. I've been on and off coordinating it since like episode 40. Guys, put your hands together for comedian, writer, improviser extraordinaire, Tammy Sanger. Come on.
Hi. Fuck boy.
Oh, I'm so excited. You're the first person who I have like a certain level of respect for that I wasn't embarrassed about doing that in front of.
Oh,
because no, I know you're a listener, and I know you the email you sent me was, "Hey fuck boy, I'm in town."
I was like I'm not going to comment on it cuz everybody always comments on it, but I was not expecting the standing mic or like yeah. I was like, I didn't know the whole,
I hold the mic stand, not the mic.
Yes.
A la Freddie Mercury for the listeners. That's where I learned it from. He would like take the top half of the mic off like live at Wembley. If you remember, he's like walking like this. Yeah,
but you also then like go back and forth with it with like your whole body, like you are at a rock show.
I got pretty physical. Well, I get excited, and especially once I feel comfortable doing it.
I'm so glad.
I'm so happy to have done that for you, Tammy. This is so awesome that you're here. I'm so pumped too.
And it's, I, as you know, I'm a big fan of the podcast.
You're hands down, I don't expect any one of my friends to listen because I'm like, if you get enough of this in person. But when you told me you were a listener, when you emailed me, and then when Dan Greger was like a guest on the podcast, he's like, Tammy's the one who told me to listen to it. And I was like, It's just, you do not represent what I think, who the people I think are listening. You're like a sweet, intelligent person. And you are certainly not a shithead, but I guess you are a quote-unquote shithead.
Such a shithead.
And then, it's like a moment of pride. Like, I was trying to articulate to my wife, I was like, I'm very excited. Tammy's coming on. And you know, she actually listens to the podcast.
And I think I have since very close to day one, possibly since day one, because I feel like you went on, was it Anthony King and Will Hines' podcast?
Yes. Don't get me started.
Don't get
me
started.
One of my old favorites. Yeah.
Before you started it, or right when you were starting it.
Yeah.
And then as soon as that happened, I was like, I gotta hear this.
That makes me so happy. It makes me, because we weren't like super close. Our paths crossed a couple of times, like in and out of New York. Yeah. Right. And that's what made it even cooler. Cause I was like, oh, that makes me so fun. It was like a little secret vote of confidence.
Oh my God. Well, this is actually what makes me feel like we're friends, even though we still are not. But I have listened to hundreds of hours of you talking.
I feel so uncomfortable with this. In the reverse of that, when I'm like, I like stop following some like sort of friends on Instagram, because I would be like, run into them at a party and be talking. I'd be like, I actually know way too much about you, and
you,
I don't want
to
be
France.
Like, how is France? Like, you feel weird.
Yeah.
And it feels uncomfortable. And that same thing with podcasts, where you're like, yeah, I know Pete Holmes. Okay. I know how you're into Buddhism now.
No, but see, with podcasts, I have less hesitation because I feel like that's content.
Yeah, I'm open.
That's
I'm
a
letting
show.
It out there.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Before we go any further, let's read some 5-star reviews. As always, shitheads, if you rate me 5 stars and roast me in the comments, I will read your roast.
Full disclosure, I have considered doing this, but then I was like, you know what? It's all been the, you know, Jeremiah Gabrucci. Yeah. I was like, I don't even know what I can't even do it.
It would be fun to read a particularly cutting.
I don't think I could cut deeper or further than has been done.
Yeah, it's weird. They really vacillate between brutal, like, and effective, and like, oh, you're the dummy who wrote it. For example, here's one from Funkiko Medina. Funkiko Medina, like the song. I get it now. But they spelled it Funkiko. So rather than Funky Cold Medina, it's Funkiko Medina.
Or Funkiko Medina.
Funkiko Medina. I was like, oh, it's an Asian, Italian person. Personal trainers hate him for this one thing. He's fat. That's why they hate him. Okay. I get it. Use the headline from like a Men's Health magazine or whatever. But, you know, we get it. I'm fat. This is from Ty the Hick. The title is I'm Better Than You. Josh Gad is a wannabe burly boy that just eats and hopes to one day actually be in shape enough to get to the mail and not be out of breath for the rest of the day. Bring the twins back. Don't know what that means. Hashtag bring the twins back. Might be in reference. This is a relatively recent one. At my one man show, I talked about these twins that I played Little League with, but that's a deep cut for.
You haven't had any other twins on as guests?
I'm trying to think. Have I? That's actually a really, put that in the burner.
Right.
I want to have twins on. I want to talk about what it's like to be twins.
I mean, Randy, Jason, Sklar.
Yeah. Do they do any podcasts? I don't know if they're into podcasts. Oh, the Lucas brothers. Yeah, I should have some comedy twins on. That's an interesting. I was always obsessed with twins ever since biology class.
I dated an identical twin.
No, this I need to hear about. This I need to hear about. This is where tangents are not only allowed, they're encouraged.
Now, it was in high school. It was at summer camp. Uh-huh. And I was 16 and he was 19.
Ooh, counselor?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
But at math camp, so boner not only down but sucked back into body.
I'm not positive I can get a boner for 3 to the square root of 8 days. Wait, you went to math camp at 16? Not
at 15, and then again at 16, 8 weeks long.
What? Over the summer?
Over the summer, 8 weeks overnight.
Where are you
in
from?
In Ohio State.
Oh,
no, I'm from Chicago.
Oh, you're from Chicago, yeah.
I helped pay for it. It was more intense than college.
Really?
Yes.
Were you like preternaturally good at math or enjoyed it or what was it?
All of that. I mean, my father's a mathematician.
Oh.
So I took calculus as a freshman in high school because I had all this access to take math and be into it. And,
oh, that's so cool. Your dad was a mathematician.
Yeah, he is.
He's, and like a math professor? Or,
yeah, yeah. Oh. And that's what I was going to be. So I actually fell in love with it at math camp, which I went after my sophomore year of high school. And my counselor was Brian. Now I feel weird. Like, oh my God. And they're from Long Island.
Oh shit. Long Island is like the camp ascent. Anyone who knows, like every Jewish person in like the tri-state area is like, I have friends from Long Island.
They're from, I want to say Manhasset.
Yeah. That's an area. That's,
that's an area.
That's a town. Yeah.
So it's Brian and Keith Conrad and, Brian was my counselor, and then Keith was the one that the next year I dated.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
And Keith was also a counselor?
Yeah, yeah.
And then was Brian still a counselor there while you were dating Keith?
No, because then Brian went and worked as an actuary for the summer between and
which
made
is,
a ton of money.
Uh-oh, he's getting keyed up. Artie, you better chill, bud.
That's on me.
No, that's
I've
fine.
I've been like, messing with him.
I'm sure you're okay with it, but I don't mind the sound. Who cares? I'm clearly not running a professional job here. Neither of us are wearing headphones. I haven't looked at, I haven't even hit record. That is not, that wouldn't be the first time that I talked for 10 minutes. I was like, can we do all that again? That's, and so was that
I
weird?
I haven't even told you the weirdest part.
Oh, yes.
Okay, they were geniuses. Like one went to Harvard for undergrad and one went to Princeton for undergrad. And then for grad school, they switched. And then they, okay, for all you math heads out there, Fermat's Last Theorem, which was something that you might have even heard about because it's A to the N plus B to the N equals C to the N.
Okay, and I do not know this, but I'm intrigued because I like this
well,
shit.
Well, okay, this part is kind of funny because it's, so Fermat wrote that in like his notebook and was like, I don't think it's true for any integers for N greater than 3. Like, I don't think that there's a solution. And then he wrote next to it, I discovered a cool proof. We'll write later. And then never did. And for hundreds of years, people
have been trying to
yes,
do that.
Yes. Oh. Or to find an example of, a you know, like three numbers that that would work for. And then when Brian was at Princeton for graduate school, his graduate school advisor solved it. And it's hundreds of pages long, and it uses math that's only been discovered in the past. It's definitely not what Fermat, probably what Fermat was thinking was he found a thing. It didn't actually work, so he never wrote it again.
Right, right, right.
But so then that made Brian's career humongous because his professor, he was working
studying
with
under the person he was working with, the guy who's
so
solves
this. Yeah, he's doing huge.
Oh, that's so, I'm a huge science nut. And math, I'm fucking into it. That's so cool.
Yeah.
But was it weird dating a twin? Like, I wonder, like, because can you be closer to, I mean, obviously the intimacy is like, there's various forms of it, but can you be closer to someone who has an identical twin than their identical twin?
Right.
Because currently, I'm very close with my brothers. I haven't lived with them in a number of years. I'm very close with my wife, Tiffany, but I would imagine if I had an identical twin brother, it would be like, you couldn't crack it. I mean, it's 16 years old, too.
It was 16 years old, and it was also, like, two guys who were big math. I mean, the whole camp was seriously, like, math nerds.
Right. It's crazy that anyone dated.
Yeah.
But that is the place, if you're going to do it, you know, in the land of the blind, the man with one eye is king. With one eye to the third power is king.
And also in the land where there's like six girls.
Right, right. That's
six girls are hot.
Yeah, the odds are good. The goods are odd.
Right. Wait, I have never heard that.
I think I heard that expression about Alaska. Like, I feel like what a woman said at one time about Alaska, because Alaska is like 85% men.
That's
and it's like,
amazing.
The odds are good, but the goods are odd.
That's some Northern exposure, like choice quote. Right.
That's so, so what, when did you decide, we'll get into more stuff, but when did you decide not to do math?
Oh, in at the very end of college.
At the very, so you went, you were a math major?
Yep, that's what my degree is in.
Oh, I went into school, declared as a biology major, and changed in the first semester.
Yeah.
Did you get into comedy right after college or during college?
During college. Yeah. And that's when
that'll
it all fucking went sideways.
It's so awesome that we get those opportunities to turn things that are hobbies or something. You're like, fuck it, I'm going to take a full swing.
Yeah.
I know everyone always rips on me for this. It's like 20 minutes in and he's talking about lifeguarding, but lifeguarding was one of those jobs that was such a great job that I watched guys who are 20 and gals all change their majors to be able to continue to be like, because the people who work as lifeguards are teachers, students, and cops and firemen in New York, because they allow you to like combine your pensions and have a couple of days to do it.
People would do it so they never like, I want a job with summers off.
Yeah, they would. I had a friend who was like a bio major, switched to become a science teacher. A friend who was an architecture major became a fireman. One of the smartest dudes I knew who went to SUNY New Paltz was like this. He had like this brilliant mind. He was going to do all this crazy shit. And by the end of it, he's like, I'm going to become NYPD so I can continue lifeguard. Like, it's such a good job and the pull is so crazy.
Did that scare you? Did you see that and be like, be careful not to have that happen?
Yeah, my summer in between junior and senior year of college was like one of my best summers lifeguarding, but I also took UCB 101 and it was like, I was like, man, this beach job is the best, but nothing is better than making someone laugh.
That's awesome.
Nothing is better than making someone laugh. And I found the harder, the meaner or weirder someone was, the more I needed to make them laugh. Yeah. And I was like, I feel like that drive is stronger than wanting to be at the beach and surf. But now I can do both here in LA. I talk about it all the time, but my midlife crisis will be when I'm like 45. I mean, I'm past my midpoint now, I'm guessing. But at like 45, I'm going to be like, yeah, I work part-time as a lifeguard and teach improv or some shit. Like, that'll be where I end up.
That doesn't sound like the worst,
No,
though.
It doesn't. It sounds so amazing. I, like, dream of the day of, like, getting such a good movie career where I'm like, I'm not going to pick up a summer. Like, I'm not going to work this summer. I'm just going to be a lifeguard.
Well, my friend Ed is a volunteer fireman.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
And he works.
Yeah.
That's such.
And so does everyone else who's a volunteer fireman. Right.
Right. They all have, yeah.
Yeah. Where it's like, oh yeah, you can be a fucking fireman when you're a grown up.
Oh, it's so cool.
Right.
You can just choose to do that. Yeah. Who just told me the other day, a guy that they moved out to LA with, who was an actor and did like some small stuff when they first came out here. They've been out here for like 15 years. Nothing really popped off for him. He's 40 years old. And he, at 38, he entered into the LA Police Academy or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Ed did that too. He did. He became a cop in his 20s. But he was like, went to Northwestern for undergrad. Super funny. This is all before UCB. So it was Chicago, Second City, then LA, and then moved to New York. And his, he'd always wanted to be a detective, and then his downstairs neighbor was a detective.
That's all it takes.
I'm just gonna do it. So he actually was a cop for a couple of years.
That's awesome. There is something about after you've done comedy or entertainment for a decade where you start to go, even if I keep busting my ass and do it, I'm at that generation where a lot of my friends are either super successful, still busting their ass, or doing great as like an urban planner. You know what I mean? Like you have those couple of friends who are like, actually, I really liked performing, but I found this other people who turn their hobbies into their careers. That's always the most exciting thing too.
Well, it's
like if Eugene Cordero doesn't get like, he's already so talented and successful, but if he didn't get any of that, he would be like a fucking, own a gym and
teaching
be happy.
Muay Thai.
Teaching Muay Thai and making money. And so I love that about our careers. That everyone's always looking for the thing that isn't our career that would make them happy.
Well, I think that's what's also cool about improv is like you need to care about the world in order to improvise, because it's like you don't want to see scenes with people auditioning.
Although I love a great commercial audition tag out run.
Oh, I will initiate them nonstop. But
the king of like revealing it was a movie scene is the.
I literally have to stop myself like every other show from being like, okay, kids, wasn't that great?
Yeah, it's like my favorite move that I know is bad.
Yeah,
it's like my favorite move.
My favorite move is elementary school.
Just read the lines,
school.
Please. Yeah, just like when they say something insane, it's like I'd prefer if you just read the lines.
Oh my god, that's hilarious. Mine is that this was just a presentation for an elementary school.
No matter how dark and fucked up it got.
Oh, especially, yeah. All right, well, thanks, guys. And the kids,
so any questions, kids? Yeah.
It is all I can do not to. And every time I'm like, but I think this would be the good time. Yeah.
You are right. Well, let's transition to our topic, which we thought, because I briefly mentioned on another episode, it would be fun to do an episode about podcasts.
Yes.
And talk radio, because that was such a, that's the precursor to podcast. I have so many strong theories about the connections between the two. They're obvious. They're not, aren't they very similar?
I have many theories. They're very detailed.
I have many theories. The also, most people have them.
You've got the homeland set up, but it's now, just one thing.
It goes Howard Stern, WTF.
It's one piece of yarn.
I think I've figured it out. Yeah, because I grew up in a house where talk radio was on all day long. And so, like, because my dad worked 3 to 11, so he was home during the day, and there's not TV on.
Yeah.
So, and he liked to
what
do...
What was the station?
Well, we listened to 660 WFAN for Mike and the Mad Dog, which was New York Sports Talk.
That's got to be sports if it's WFAN.
WFAN. That was Mike and the Mad Dog. That's New York Sports Roundup Show. Opie and Anthony on 102.7 and Howard Stern, of course, on K-Rock. Yeah.
So I grew up in Chicago,
yeah,
which is huge for talk radio. Right. Steve and Gary were
Steve
Dahl. Yeah. So Howard Stern, the big thing as a Steve Dahl fan was, so Steve Dahl started in Detroit and that's where Howard Stern started.
Yeah.
And there's just like, and Howard even said it at some point that he was inspired because Steve would like talk about his life. So then Steve and Gary were in Chicago and like Steve had an on the air. I'm like, everybody ripped. He had an on the air vasectomy. but so when Opie and Anthony were doing their stunts, it was like,
yeah,
like because they were getting two other people to have sex.
Right. They weren't doing it themselves. Yeah, there is something
like
that.
It felt like we were. I don't know. I felt like we're over. Steve was the one who did the Disco Demolition from the 70s.
Yes.
Have you heard about that?
Yeah, where they, was it in Wrigley Field or whatever?
It was in Comiskey Park, the White Sox.
Oh, the White Sox. And they burned all disco records or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. And it was, but then it turned into like kind of like all the fans just ran out to the field and they had to cancel the second game.
I just listened to an episode of a podcast that was about that. I forget.
It's so funny now because so for years, like everybody's like, oh my God, Steve Dahl. I want to say like Bob Odenkirk and stuff is like writing a movie about it, like possibly like Jack Black. Like it's been talked about for years. And now the tide has turned where people are like, it was very anti-gay, anti-black.
Yeah, because it was like the weird.
That's
like,
what disco music is.
Yes.
And Steve is like, no. Yeah, like, please, no.
Disco music sucks.
Yeah. It was more like he was like, I kept losing my job because the radio formats would change. To disco.
Right.
So it was like.
It's not about who listens to it. Yeah.
And also the people that he was protesting listening to it were like white straight guys who were like, you know.
Just going, changing with the tide.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. But it is funny then. It's. I still listen to him now. Like I've listened to him for decades.
My wife still listens to Howard every morning. I used to listen to Opie and Anthony when I moved out here and got serious. And then I listened to Opie and Jim for a while. Got kind of. Kind of weird. I'm
the
disgusted.
Whole Anthony thing of like losing his mind in Times Square.
It's upsetting because it's like, oh, you want to think that you're just a funny instigator.
Yeah.
And then when you start to hear like
what happens,
I think a lot of times people start to believe their own hype too. And believe like, and I think that's a part of talk radio and podcasting is you're filling time for like 3 hours a day and you start to just like say things and you're like, fuck it. This is actually kind of an interesting point of view. I'm really like,
right.
You start to like be like, actually, no one's actually thinking like this. This could be. And then these people like, and the listeners kind of like codify it for people.
Well, the internet. I mean, I feel like the Opie and Anthony, like the whole listeners, like they have crazy fans.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of things I really enjoy in life because I like that garbage kind of stuff is ruined by fandom.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a lot of things I like, I'm like, but the people who like it.
I know. It can spiral really fast.
Yeah.
Because like I'll still listen to Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
And then.
I love Carolla.
I do too.
Someone tweeted at me, at Adam Carolla, have John Gabris on. And I was like so ecstatic. And then I was also like, wait a minute. Am I like agreeing to something by saying like I don't know what am I co-signing some sort of belief or some obnoxious thing because I'm afraid at any point that I'm gonna slip up in some capacity and be like I can't this guy went on Adam Carolla's show, what a monster,
right. And the thing is, too, it's like, I feel like he is ultimately reasonable, but right. he will also be like, he will also say stuff where you're like, well, yeah. I don't know if Trump is like,
you right, know, right. Yeah, yeah. And that's what drives me the craziest is when yeah. I'm like, I'm along for this ride, especially if you're like being cheeky and how and awful and obnoxious you are. I can feel it.
Yeah.
And obviously, and anyone who's listening, who's putting it together right now knows that's what I've built this entire High and Mighty on is like what I appeal to is just like the interesting, fucked up kind of elements. And then, but it forced to be like, I could never start to believe myself.
Yeah, that's tricky. So Steve, I grew up listening to him, and actually I like him a lot more because he'll play like old, he owns all his old material. So
oh, that's fun.
You can hear old ones. Oh. And I'm like, I actually like him a lot more yeah. now because he's like this really thoughtful guy in his 60s. He got sober also like 20 years ago.
Oh, that's a good arc for an artist, I think.
Yeah, it's yeah. fast. Yeah, and then...
Or the opposite. I like what some of the artists now are getting, like... Like, I'm using the term artist for talk radio hosts and Kevin Smith.
I think
Smith
for some freely, it is. Yeah.
But like Kevin Smith getting into weed at 48 is like interesting to
do
me.
Do you listen to his podcast?
I do not. I grew up a fan of his and I kind of idolize him and would love to work with him someday. But I watched a bunch of his speeches when he did like the lecture circuit and I kind of burned myself out on him.
Yeah, that is the thing with talk radio at a certain point. You're like, okay, now I'm done for a while where I can have somebody in my, they're literally in your head. It's the most intimate right. thing in the world.
This is like, because it's like the Fisher King really points at that, the movie. Where
I never saw that.
Oh shit, it's really great, Terry Gilliam. But a guy shoots up a place because he's inspired by talk radio by what's his name, Big Lebowski, Jeff Bridges. Yeah. Jeff Bridges plays a talk radio host who's like a Howard Stern analog, and he's like, it's these big money corporations, and a guy shoots up a bank, and then he like feels spirals. The guilt and spirals and meets a homeless man who is Robin Williams, and they become friends. But it makes you think, because it's like, that's a direct line directly into your brain.
Yeah.
And then you start to...
Especially like, when you're wearing headphones.
Dude, that's exactly... You're walking around with something in your head and someone's talking directly to you, or two people are talking, having a conversation that you are hearing that's going into your mind for an hour a day, hour and a half a day, depending like how yeah. Howard was 15 hours a week is yeah. now. And it's like... You can be brainwashed. You can change your sense of humor to sort of like, you kind of see it when like real cultural like podcast movements like Chapo or Comedy Bang Bang, like these big, they kind of push like a certain, and then all of a sudden the fandom gets the same sense of humor or the similar yeah. taste.
Wait, and what's you're like, Chapo?
Chapo Trap House is like those super liberal dudes who have like a podcast where they're just like mega lefties. And I'm not that versed in politics.
Like beyond Bernie Bro?
Yeah, like they're like, like burn it all. Like they've got like they've got interesting ideas, but they've got a big following and they're kind of funny and yeah. edgy and racy. And like they've got a following of a bunch of young, intelligent people who like, and you can get like, they get hyped up on. And like I constantly, like anytime someone's like, got to get Gabe or something. The reason I find out about weird podcasts is because one person who's a fan of both dreams yeah. like as a kid, you would always dream of like, why wouldn't Opie and Anthony go on Howard Stern?
Right.
Like that was like the, in my head, would have been, that's like the Flintstones meet the Jetsons, you know?
Oh, remember when they would do the Olympics of the cartoons?
Oh, that was always the best. Yeah. Dude. It was like Battle of the Network Stars, but yes. animated.
I worked on Girls. I was a writer on that. And the guy who played her dad was Peter Scolari from yes. Bosom Buddies. And then the guy who played her dad's boyfriend was, I want to say his name is Ethan Phillips. Great actor, but he was like from Benson. He was
yeah,
like...
I know the actor you're talking about, yeah.
And they... And it was so sweet. They were both like these super sweet, fucking great 80s actors. And then we were like, did you guys ever work together before? And they were like, actually, it was a Battle of the Network Stars, but like a circus edition. Like one of them did High Wire and the other. It was just like that. It could not be more 1982.
Yeah. More moments. I hate Instagram more and more, and I hate talking about it and discussing it.
But oh, I thought Artie just drooled on him, but it's a big piece of fabric.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's so cute. He's already brought back three toys.
I know, he's piled up now.
He's the fucking best.
Well, you're giving him more play than any other guest does. Most guests, I'm like, stop licking them.
Oh my God, I love it so much. Right.
Another thing you said in the email. You're like, I at least want to meet Arthur.
Well, because I also felt weird being like, I'm in town for 5 days. Yeah. Please let me be on your show.
But that's, we have previously discussed this at AskCat. I said, please, if you're ever in town, if I'm back in town, we'll make it work. Crossover. Oh, I really hate Instagram in a way. I'm getting tired of it being like, we got to take pictures at places and do things. But I kind of like moments like that is like, wouldn't that have been great to see an Instagram picture that Peter Scolari took on the set of those are those moments when it's like, oh, cool. I do have that picture of me and Thomas Middleditch when we did that blank thing because we took it because we knew about Instagram, you know?
Thomas Middleditch, the Peter Scolari of 2015.
I was trying to think of who a famous friend that I have a pretty great picture with. And we have a picture from Kilgore where we're both in clown makeup covered in blood with no shirts on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm saving that for when he's nominated. You know that thing when like someone's like, congrats to my friend who won an award. Here's me and him together. Knowing, just so you know, I'm actually good. People love that shit. Like, I'll call out friends by name. Like, Mike Still's like, Kate McKinnon won an Emmy. Here's a video we did 5 years ago. It's like, all right, man, please. I'm positive she doesn't need to hear that.
Well, the video is another thing, right? Because I remember seeing there was a lot of. Was a Kristen Wiig,
right?
A lot. I feel like I saw a lot of videos of
because a lot of people Mike's came videos. Up with her and who are like, I was doing shitty videos with her way back in the day.
And it's not even like a video that's shot to be seen as a video. It's like a video of stage.
Oh, that's like, always the worst. Ugh. That looks like such garbage. I get immediately embarrassed. It's something I've been doing for 10 years and I love doing. But if the second I have to see myself do improv, I'm like,
oh no!
I just look like a fat white guy gesturing to a chair.
You just literally described improv.
The further you get away from an improv show, the worse it is, like exponentially. Like, that's why Chelsea and Franklin are so fun to perform at because everyone's on top of you. But then when you go to Beast and Sunset, they're further away and improv looks stupider and stupider. And then camera being the furthest separation you could be, it just never looks right on stage because you have to be caught up in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I don't love UCB Sunset because of the distance from the crowd and shit like that. Yeah. And I haven't been to Hell's Kitchen yet.
It just opened.
I'm so excited. Have you been there yet?
No. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited. It's insane that it wasn't handicapped accessible for so long.
I know.
It's, when they announced the new location and they were like, we know it's a huge change, but finally we're handicapped accessible. I was like, oh. Of course.
Well, because they couldn't advertise that they weren't.
I know.
It's funny. It must have been on everyone's mind, especially as
By the way, I feel like we're saying it wrong. Is it like ADA?
Yes. ADA approved or something that. Yeah. ADA accessible.
Yeah. Because even like my dad, who's, you know, he has a hard time just walking, but like those stairs were hard for a, you know, an able-bodied person.
It was like age prohibitive. My first commercial agent in New York was like, oh, I would love to come see one of your shows, but I just can't go downstairs. Yeah. She's like this old, old theater woman. And I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, it's
and
shitty.
Then it's like, and she was mobile. She wasn't she was ambulatory, but I was like, Jesus, I didn't even think of that.
So I'm actually super excited about Hell's Kitchen and I'm hopeful.
It's going to be cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fingers crossed that it's going to be cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not like the corporatization. We're not becoming off Broadway or something like
that. That's for sure. I mean, it's improv. It's a fat white guy pointing at a chair. When it's a thin black woman, it's still at its heart a fat white man pointing at a chair.
We're all fat white men once we enter the improv stage.
No matter what.
We all come together as one fat white guy pointing at shit.
Yeah.
That's really funny. Did you ever have an inkling to want to do talk radio?
No.
Because I feel like you would, you as a podcast host or, I mean, as a guest, it's been fabulous, but as a host, it would make total sense. You're a bit of a chatterbox. You like to talk.
I can be, absolutely.
And that's why I drew me to you when we first did a few ass cats together. We're like, I barely know this woman, but we're having like a long ass conversation about rescuing dogs and shit.
Yeah.
Well, there's also, you have some key subjects to get you started on.
Oh man. And there really is like, but you know, I think part of it is my personality is also such that like watching James Bond movies when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And part of it was being a woman, but I never was like, I want to be James Bond. I was like, I want to be the hot lady he fucks once in just, between the three other hot ladies he fucks.
I want to be one of four faceless women that gets to fuck Roger Moore.
Yeah. And it was Roger Moore.
Of course. Totally that one Roger makes Moore. Sense. Yeah.
So even like listening to talk radio, I was never like, oh, I want to be on talk radio. I was like, I want to be with the guys who do talk radio.
Like, you want to be like a whack packer?
Basically, like, but not even on the, it's funny. And you never hear just women by themselves.
Right. You don't. Yeah. You want to be more Robin than Howard.
But now I've started listening to Israeli radio, Israeli talk radio.
Oh, man. This, here we go.
Taking a deep dive. So I'm Israeli. We moved when I was three. Oh, my God. He's just brought his fourth toy.
I think he's got one left.
It is the literal best.
This is a really because someone explained to me one time. I'm like, oh, here comes Arthur. He's going to go run and get his toy. And they're like, oh, if he wants to present to you his favorite things and he wants to show guests. And I never someone projected all this on, and you never know with dogs. You can write your whole backstory to him. But it's like he does have that Nyla bone is usually the first thing he runs and grabs. And to when a new guest comes over.
Yeah.
But there's got to be something to the fact that he's now built a home next to you.
I love it because every time he leaves, I'm a little bit like, oh, I guess he's tired of
and then
me.
You're like, as he comes back in and is running around on his little nails.
Yeah. Oh, so I'm Israeli and we moved here when I was three and we speak Hebrew at home. But so I speak like a little kid, like my I mess up agreement of male and female all the time.
Right. But you can understand it when you hear it.
I can. And then when I'm there, I get a lot better.
And you go often?
I don't, but the past couple of years I've gone twice in the past 2 years.
Oh,
which has been awesome. And I've started like trying to watch more Israeli shows and listen to Israeli radio to prove it. And there's a morning, their morning on Radio Tel Aviv is these two women, Daphna Lustig and Maya Dagan. And it's just two women talking and they're hilarious and cool. And I was like, I've never heard a two lady morning radio show.
Yeah. Would be like the only analog we would have in America at this point is like My Favorite Murder or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's a way more pointed. But yeah, there isn't like the View and Kathy Lee and Gifford have been like weirdly
because
bastardized and fetishized into.
And also their whole, but it was
stick-a-sized.
It's ladies. Yeah. Exactly.
Whatever the expression is where it's like, I guess we lean into being broads,
and
you know?
Totally. And it was created with just, we're going to do it because we are just women and it
for
just,
women by women kind of thing. Yeah.
And this is just the radio show.
That's really cool. I wish a female shock jock would would probably crush. Although shock jock listening audiences, if I had to paint a broad stroke, come across as misogynistic to me.
And here's the thing is even just, I mean, I feel like the term shock jock is like, we don't, I mean,
there's no one shocking anymore.
Yeah. And as soon as you go to shock, like,
you've done it.
Yeah.
You're tapped.
I just want them to be real.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what I liked. I didn't like when Howard had strippers on.
No, I like when Howard has interviews.
Yeah.
I think he's like,
because he's good at just asking people, no, like, seriously, you know,
where
did you fuck her?
Like, and he created an environment of like, look, Just be honest. It's me. It's a couple of lunatics. It's Gary. It's Robin. We're a ragtag group of people. There aren't millions of people currently listening.
Yeah.
So tell me, Jake Gyllenhaal. You know, it's like, and I really like that about him.
Yeah.
He creates that environment. And that, I mean, of course, that's what I'm like, what I liked the most about it was like interviewing interesting people.
Yeah.
But I when I was a kid, I would love like hearing so and so call in or like farting the fart Olympics and all that shit. And now when they do like shtick or bits, and maybe it's because I've been doing comedy for so long, so I'm a touch snobby, or it's more like this is not what I come here for. I come here for serious conversation.
Yeah.
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 And that's like when Opie and Anthony got like started getting like a little too political. I was like, no, I come here for you guys to have bad opinions and then really laugh about it and dive in.
Yeah.
Which is one of my favorite bits you can have in the business is just sit here and be like, yeah, I don't know. Women driving cars seems terrifying. And then like just spending 8 minutes unpacking like in a stupid way why that's a true like belief.
And I also love it when, and it's really these guys who've done it where they're like, we're not opening it up for calls.
Right.
Like,
yes.
Unless I actually want to talk to people.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not just like, and here we go. We'll fill an hour with you guys
like,
calling
I don't,
in.
I really don't want to hear people call in.
Yeah.
I just don't.
I've done the wrap up show a few times on Stern, really? And that's really fun for me to be with Hein and Gary. But then when people call in, it's just like, I don't want to, but it is. Man, you gotta interact with the listeners. You gotta fan interact. You gotta tweet.
That's
gotta respond.
That's one thing I like about podcasts is that there isn't really that element.
No, no, except on like social media. You kind of, you don't have to, but you truly don't have to.
As a listener, you don't have to engage
in that.
Right,
you don't have
that.
Yeah. And you can listen to a podcast and not have to, like, because that was my thing is like, you like interview podcasts. I like want to go on WT. I want to hear Marc Maron talk to Molly Shannon. I don't want to hear, and now we're going to take some questions from idiots about for Molly Shannon. I don't want to hear any of it because Q&A's also, I think, is what's ruining society. As someone who is a big fan of comic conventions and film screenings, two of the things I really enjoy doing are truly destroyed by Q&A's.
Dan Greger has an amazing Q&A story. Do you know this?
No, wait.
It's with Julian Schnabel, who is a huge like artist.
He did the movie like the bell, the diving bell and the butterfly,
something like
right?
that.
About
yeah.
the guy with locked in syndrome.
Yeah,
or
and he's also like I think like a millionaire and has like a crazy. And he was at some Q&A, and I don't remember the movie. Sorry, Dan Greger. And I guess this guy like asked a question. It was, I think it was Julian Schnabel, but Dan like didn't look, turn around or anything, and just did the like, oh, come on, because it was one of those like Q&A questions that was all about the questioner, but the questioner was Julian Schnabel. So then I guess he was walking home with his Rachel and was just like complaining about it, walking down the streets of New York, like, and that fucking asshole, like asking like, we get it. Ugh. And then Julian Schnabel was right behind him and heard him just like,
oh no, that's so awesome. But it is that thing where it's like, the question is always like, I'm a filmmaker as well. Ugh. And my most recent screenplay, which was titled like, get out of this.
Yeah.
I was at the screening of Her, and Spike Jones was being interviewed by, and I forget her, Nicole Hofcenter.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's
Hofcenter?
Like, Hofcenter, something like that. I always forget. The writer, director. She's so good. And that's my favorite part of a Q&A is like, I saw a Matthew Weiner interview, the guy, Terrence Winter, and like about Wolf of Wall Street. And that's those are the interviews I care about. I'm like, get one smart person who knows the business
totally.
To talk to them. But then they always open it up to the crowd. And two of the questions I remember from the Her screening, I was there with Ben Rogers. The first one that was like, the person raised their hand was like, how would someone afford an apartment like that? And Spike just goes, it's the future. It's a movie. Next question. And it's like, that's really what's bothering you? Or do you think you're going to be able to pull it? And this is where I get like antagonistic with listeners of the podcast. It's like, do you think like pulling that thread is going to be like, Spike Jones is going to be like,
thank
this
you.
This guy's actually thinking outside the box. Yeah.
Yeah. And that actually helps me enjoy the movie so much more.
Yeah. Now I know that. Now I get Her.
But at least like with the Q&A, that's in person. That person got to feel hundreds of people turn on him.
Right.
Be like, fuck,
Exactly. Just like.
But I feel like the internet, what happens is then like thousands of people are like, yeah, I know. And then this, and then this, and then this. And just like a spiral of outrage and hate. I thought it might be fun to go through what podcasts we listen to from like the huge ones to the ones that you're like, I don't think anybody that I know listens to this.
I think this is a 100% a good idea because this is fun. So it's like half recommendations, half like a dark look into what we're into.
Now, I know I feel like we first connected with our love of Don't Get Me Started.
Yes.
How sad were you when that ended?
Truly sad. I mean, I brought them to HeadGum. I like called HeadGum. I was like, you got to get these guys on because I once described Will and Anthony as my cool older brothers now that I know what cool is. You know what I mean? Because they're not like the guys, if you were a 15-year-old boy, that you would want as an older brother, where you're like, yeah, I want the guy who's going to buy me beer and teach me to skateboard. Yeah. Instead, I got a theater Hines. Dork and a computer dork.
Yeah.
But the fact that now that I have tastes and like I have whatever this person I ended up being, to me, I'm just like, tell me. I'd still text those guys and go, what are you reading? What are you watching? Like, as much as I loved hearing friends and friends of friends describe their passions, the mini obsessions, it was just like, they're just two of the smartest, most interesting people ever. And like, for me, I just want to hear what.
So that podcast was the two of them getting people to talk about whatever their obsession was.
Yes.
As long as they're, and then they would have to do their mini obsessions.
Right.
And they would sometimes record like four in a row or something and be like, my mini obsession is this water, I guess, that it's right in front of me.
I truly believe Will Hines one time had like the way the drum kicks in on like this one song, which is like the most stonery thing you could possibly have. It's just like, dude, have you heard the way the drum like comes in on this song?
Yeah. But I loved it.
I loved it. And between that show and while we're talking about it, a similar show to me was the Jeff Rubin show, which is
I've never even heard of that.
He's a old College Humor guy. He's sort of nerdy. He works in video games and he's a very interesting guy, very funny, very smart. And between Don't Get Me Started and the Jeff Rubin show pretty much inspired what High and Mighty was going to be, because Jeff Rubin just talked to like the guy who has the Guinness Book of World Records for the most amount of Who Let the Dogs Out merchandise. And he talked to him for an hour.
Wow.
He talked to a guy who designed the Dothraki language for over an hour and just like dove in and had all these. He's a very interesting and he asked smart questions.
Yeah.
But he was like, my show is self-indulgent. I want to talk to people I think is cool. And so I was like, I don't want a premise. I just want to chat with people about what they're passionate about or force what I'm passionate about on them.
Yeah.
And so that's why I ripped off both of those podcasts to create mine. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all ripping off. We're all doing Charlie Rose.
Except for the women that tried to get to do.
We're all doing Charlie Rose. Unfortunately for Charlie Rose, still not enough. Motherfucker. Who's now? So we're both big fans of Don't Get Me Started. And then that's where we started.
That's when we were like, because didn't you go on Don't Get Me Started then for one episode as like your obsession was there?
I went on for the 50th and broke down because I had like.
Your obsession was their show.
I had been listening to their show like so,
so
rampantly.
Good.
Yeah.
So good.
And I got to the point where like my own podcast, I was like cherry picking some. And then I got so into it that I went back and I listened to like the eight that didn't sound interesting to me that I skipped. And I was like, some of them I still didn't like thoroughly get into, but I was like, if Mary Holland is going to talk about Survivor, I'm going to listen to Mary Holland.
Yeah.
And I don't even like Survivor, but.
And it got me into some stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that
started
was
started playing rugby after my episode. I remember.
No, but that is it did make me care about people.
Oh,
also,
yeah.
Too. It made me care about the obsession and sometimes care about people. Hi, ooh. You're actually making a noise.
Yeah. No one walks near our apartment, not without Arthur saying something. Right, Artie?
And I was really sad because I actually had another obsession to come on there with. And I'd even like talked to Will about it and I could tell he wasn't really into it.
Was this going
to
be pens?
Yes, it was totally going to be pens. And I could see Will be like, sure.
You might be a little too esoteric for us.
And then I was like, but I know your show, so I think I'll be fine. And then the show went off the air.
I was so upset to hear that.
Yeah.
Another big one I like that's pretty popular is Reply All on Gimlet Media. It's like a real like internet and tech kind of like, but the culture around it more so than like, this is how to unlock your iPhone. It's more like, a great episode they did was he got a call center call from a spam call and Alex just kept following up with the company until he ended up in India, like tracking down the business stuff. It's just a really interesting journey.
It is like when people, I had a friend who was getting catfished by a weird guy and like not somebody who she was seeking out, somebody who was like putting on a bunch of different personas to seek her out.
Trying to get her.
Yeah. And I was like, Reply All would be kind of great because they have all these resources and they're journalists and they know how to do stuff.
I love that show.
But sometimes I can't, sometimes I need to not listen to, or just don't feel like listening to like real radio shows. Do you know what I mean? Like Reply All's podcast, but it feels like a real radio show.
Yes, yeah.
Sometimes I just need, I don't know, more people-y stuff.
Right. I totally get that. I have, so, because I have like a swath that I listen to depending on my mood too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I have like my podcast that I like when I'm high.
What are those?
That's Hollywood Handbook and The Great Debates. Those are just two podcasts I love.
Is that
Sean and Hayes, Sean Clements is Hollywood Handbook. And they just play like heightened Hollywood persona douchebags and bring on other comedy people. And they're just, their tones and their takes on everything is just makes me laugh. I think also as I get more into comedy, I find it more appealing to things that I don't think I could even do.
Yeah.
As someone who's like so narcissistic where
yeah,
I'm like,
yeah, yeah.
I still listen to Comedy Bang Bang every once in a while, but to me, it's like, as being part of it for so long, it doesn't feel that exciting. But Hollywood Handbook, I still can't quite do what they
yeah,
do.
Yeah, you can't crack the...
So,
yeah,
it's, so to
it's
me,
fun.
It's still like, ooh, that's fun. It's like, just recently, I listened to an episode of that show, Off Book, which is Jess McKenna and Zach Reno, who are people out here. It's an improvised musical each episode, and they're very talented.
Wow.
And I just listened to it, and I'm like, I can't sing at all. And yeah. This is just like the coolest.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they're so talented. And it's like, it's just a new, fresh take for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the other one, Great Debates, that I listen to when I'm stoned, it's really funny. Is
that Steve Healy?
Steve Healy and Dave King.
I've never heard it. They're both such funny guys.
They're both such funny and like uber smart, like fucking Ivy League little kids. And they're so funny and so smart. And then they just take insane user submitted arguments. One guy takes the pro, one guy takes the con, and then Dave Medina, I think is his name, he is the moderator, and he decides at the end like who won. And they really try to make their points. Like the episode I just listened to earlier, although not high, I just needed a palate cleanser. I don't want to listen to talkie radio when I'm doing episodes, so yeah. I want to listen to something silly.
Yeah.
That one they did today was, is Jim Carrey getting the credit he deserves? And it's just like a really interesting take on a debate, and they go back and forth about it, and they're super intelligent. So it really, it sounds so simple.
I can't picture this at all. I can't picture. Yeah, I can't picture
it. Sounds
it
so
at all.
Simple and almost like bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
That you're like, that doesn't sound like, but
I'll check it out.
It's
really, really funny.
It's really good.
Okay,
it's really good.
I'll check that out.
Yeah. What about you? Do you have like, because when you say people-y one, does that mean like you want to like hear what people are interested in, what people
I
are
want to, you know what I realized that a big function that podcasts and talk radio have always filled in my life is feeling like I have friends around.
Yeah, but it's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Because this is probably very different for you growing up, but I was like basically grounded all the time.
We were home alone all the time.
Well,
So
when I wasn't, like, I couldn't even get in trouble. Like, when I was in trouble, when I got in really big trouble when I was in high school, they couldn't ground me because my normal life was being grounded. So
they were like, what do we do? Make her go to her friend's house?
I was placed under room arrest.
Room arrest.
So meals, I couldn't come down for meal time. It was brought to me. And like,
Jesus Christ.
Everything was taken out of my room that was like fun, like books and my radio.
Shit.
Yeah, it was grim.
What did you do that deserved that?
School. It was always like school stuff.
Now, this is where I could do my hip fire stereotyping. Israeli parents, traditionally not chill.
Like, school.
Yeah, about success, about hard work, right? Like that is like, as I'm going off of my other friends who have Israeli parents, like Gil and Dan Gregor.
Yeah. And it's funny because like, I don't think my cousins and stuff had that in Israel, but it's also something different when you're an immigrant.
Yeah, Israeli Americans. It's more specific to that. Yeah.
But so radio always filled the like, because I remember there was even a show on Saturday nights I would listen to in Chicago because it was, I know, which is like the saddest, but it was also
Hey, you're
great.
Talking about a guy who rented two movies from Blockbuster every Friday night of junior and senior year of high school.
Right.
I lifeguarded from 7 to 11 and then would go Blockbuster closed at midnight, pick up two DVDs, go home and watch from like 11:30 to 1:30 and then maybe do another one if I wasn't tired or wake up Saturday and watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where I became like a movie nut.
That's
one
cool.
One stupid movie and one movie that I heard cool movie people watched. Like, I'd be like Taxi Driver and Holy Grail, you know, because it's like, I think you're supposed to watch Taxi Driver. I had like these homework movies as a kid.
Yeah. Homework movies.
We were both dorks. You're sitting home. No, you're sitting home in a prison cell eating, getting a tray of food slid under your door, listening to.
Listen to Steve Dahl, Buzz Killman. So the peoply ones that I think of now are like, okay, like I listen to Bitch Sesh, which is Casey Williams.
I don't listen to that one, but I love though. I love everyone involved, so I should.
Yeah, they talk about the Real Housewives, and I don't watch any of those shows. Not a single one of them, but
right.
I like hearing them talk about it.
Well, that's like, how did this get made for me for a long time? I only listened to the ones that movie I saw, and then eventually I was like, I don't want to see a bad movie. Let me see if I can still enjoy it. And then I'd be like, this is fucking great.
Yeah.
I host an action movie podcast, and I feel like people listen to it without having seen the movies too.
That was a low point for me.
Oh my God, I just broke the table.
Oh, that's already broken. Don't worry about that.
Yeah,
yeah. You scared? I thought you got hurt.
I was just scared I broke your table.
This is a like 40-year-old table, and there's just so many books underneath. Yeah.
You guys, I've never actually, I'm scared to say this in front of you. I've never seen Die Hard from start to finish.
Oh my God.
But you guys did a Die Hard
commentary
where it was like, okay, start the movie right now. And I like just sat there like listening, like still like walking my dog. And then there was a time like you all walked away from the mics to get delivery. Like, and I'm just like, I'm the asshole who's like listening.
You'd be surprised. I think it's probably like 20%, if maybe 10% people actually watch it alongside the movie, actually listen alongside the movie. We keep doing these commentaries and people seem to like.
Wait, so is the Action Boys, do you guys do it while you're watching the movie or after?
We do it like.
Because the other ones were after you watched it.
We always like watch it separately. But now, so far for the action movie, for the Action Boys spinoff, we've done a few commentary episodes. And it's like the audience, we don't know if they like it or not. We can't tell. We don't even like doing it. But we're like, if you guys really like it, we'll do it because it's just a format break. But we'd much rather just have long, extended bullshit conversations.
Well, I guess somebody who has. Because it really, like, I really, like. I mean, I listened to it, God bless, but it was just those moments of silence of just you guys eating where I'm like, Tammy, come on, what are you doing with your life?
You are a career woman.
I'm listening to three guys eating.
What about, so Bitch Sesh, you don't watch those shows, but
I don't
you
watch
love,
the shows.
Those are some of the funniest people too.
Oh my God,
Casey,
the funniest.
And Danielle, I love
and
them.
And they just, they care about it. And they've started listening to the Kardashian-it.
Oh, right. Yes.
With Marcy Giroux.
And JJJLA. Yeah.
Is that what?
Jess Jardine, right?
Yeah. And I don't, not only do I not watch the Kardashians, I don't like them, which they would be very upset because they love them
they
so
truly
much.
Love
them. Truly love them.
That's so fun. But and you still get enjoyment out of it because it is like,
not only do
I like hearing people talk about stuff that they find very interesting, no matter what.
Yeah.
And that's why I did another podcast series called The Layman, where I interviewed scientists, because I just was so, I'm so interested in science. I just want to do it.
Yeah.
I just want to talk. And so that's why I can listen to those podcasts and be like, I don't know anything what they're talking about, but he's talking with, or she's talking with such passion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've started, Nicole Byer just started one.
Oh yeah. When we ran into each other in airport, she's like, should I do a podcast? And I said, yes. You're the person, if I can't believe you don't have one. You're a person who has the ability to talk unending and be funny all the time.
I heard you talk about that when she came on and did the, again, the listening
hour.
To you.
Oh, that
for an
episode
hour.
Is insane.
Oh my God. It's fantastic. All of them. I listened to the Taco Bell ones.
You poor thing.
I like those are the ones that I think of when I think of talky ones that are super cool. Personal. Yeah.
Yeah, I like those. I like the dumbbells for that reason, too.
I do, too.
Yeah. Sort of like you can argue that it's a little bit of fitspo, if you will, too.
Is funny because I'll totally listen to it. And then there's times where I'm so off the beam that I can't even listen to them.
You feel bad. They make you feel guilty, not on purpose, where you're like, I'm like, I'll get stoned and I'll be like laying, like I'll be like, I gotta do chores, and I put on the dumbbells, and they're like, so you just gotta make sure you're getting out there, and I'm like, let me switch to Doughboys.
Although they did a really sweet thing. It's also fun when you listen and then they like make a change and you're like, I think this came from that.
Yeah.
Where they were like, they were used to be like, okay, this is your 10 minute
mile marker. Right, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
And they were like, so good for you. And da, da, da. And then they're like, then it became like, okay, if you're working out, great. If you're not, that's also okay. Yeah. They like, and they were never coming down too hard.
Right, right. But then you felt them soften even more.
Oh my God. That like literally not just like foot, like the foot went all the way off the gas. Yeah, right.
They were like, honestly, do whatever the fuck you want in your life. Just keep
really sweet.
Using our promo codes.
Oh, but I saw Ryan Stanger because he performs at UCB on Friday nights. And I've been sitting in with Soundtrack afterwards.
Oh, cool.
And so I was totally like, hi. I was like, hi. And I was like, could I talk to you?
Can I be a guest? I want to talk.
No, I don't.
That's not your.
I really. That feels like it would go too deep.
Yeah, that's like unfortunately a little. I have an episode lined up, which may come out before or after this one. So I won't, I'll talk to you about it off air. But I think I'm going to have like a too deep health one with a friend. I think I need it. I think I need to put it out there. I think I'm learning that I need like a fake idea or like a fabricated idea of pressure.
But you look really good.
Thank you. I feel I'm doing slightly better, but I need to.
You really do look really good.
I appreciate that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Well, I.
I was doing chin-ups when you came in the apartment.
Were you really? No. No, this is so fucked up of why I didn't say anything before is because I feel so shitty right now about how I look that I'm like, I don't even want to just enter in. But you look really good. Oh,
thank you. Thank you. And then if I say you look really good, you're going to like eye roll.
Like the wall.
Yeah, exactly. I know that sensation too. And I know also like when you're not feeling great and someone's like, oh, you look great. And you're like, you don't understand. I hate the way I look. And they're like, oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
I tried to just give you a compliment.
And you're kind of like, you're just saying that because you think I look so horrible. So you feel like you need to address it. It's just like, shut up. No, but with, I feel like dumbbells, I feel like that. It's just in too real a place for me right
now.
That
makes sense. It's such a smart idea for a podcast. Fitness and comedy, it's always...
And they're perfect for it.
Because they're actual comedy people. They're not fitness people who think they're funny.
And they're actually super empathetic.
And they're... Yeah, and the new... Like, their mantras about, like, just do something... Today, Eugene said something that, like, inspired me insanely. On the most recent episode, Eugene says... They're talking about New Year's resolutions. He's like, whatever your New Year's resolution is... Start it today, even if it's December 20th. Oh. Just do it now.
Yeah.
He's like, get a 10-day head start. Over the holidays, if you're like, I'm going to do it, and you only do it twice out of 10 days, you're still better off than you were on on a hypothetical waiting for January
1st. I love
1st.
That.
It's so, and I love their whole thing of like, well, just walk 20 minutes a day. And then you're like, that's not enough, but I'm also not doing that.
Right.
Even. Yeah.
Because they'll also like, just be like, do a lunge.
And right.
Like, okay. And I have actually a couple of times just been like, I've done I guess it's squats, like a chair.
Yeah.
And then I've been like, oh.
I did something.
I did do something. And also, that was crazy hard.
Yeah. And it is one of those things where you feel like, you're like, that's not going to be enough for me. But holy shit, it is 200% more than what I would have done today anyway.
And holy shit, that was so hard that I really should be doing that.
Right. And then it's also one of those things where it's like, now it's prohibitively difficult or whatever. I'm one of those guys who's like, if I'm not going to be working out 4 days a week and really training hard, why do it at all? And that is the worst attitude to have if you're like want longevity in life.
Right, right, right.
If you want to be alive, kids and all that
it's
jazz.
It's literally the worst attitude to have just with anything, with writing.
And I think that's like something I'm talking like I'm want to get into therapy and deal with that because that's something I have like
unless you go to therapy 4 times a week, it's not worth it. Right. No, I'm totally kidding.
But it is like I have like a productivity block where I'm like, man, if only I had like 2 weeks free to really just sit down and write. And then it's like it's been 8 weeks. And amongst those 8 weeks, I probably could have put together 80 hours if I really want to, you know, and I just can't. I have something that I put in front of myself that like, I'm just like, I don't know what it is.
Just did, there was a, you know what? And I didn't even do the whole 30 days. So God bless. I did 17 days and I'm still going to count that as a plus. And 'cause I'll also go back, but it was a 30-day writing detox. And what, it was online. It was great. And it was also because it wasn't for anything. It wasn't like at the end of 30 days, you'll have a screenplay or you'll have anything. It was just like, I just want to enjoy writing again. Yeah. And it started with just like, write. She had like a writing. She had a.
Like a bunch of prompts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like 10 minutes. And it was like, oh, this is not going to be anything. But I felt so good. And then it went up to 15 minute prompts. And then there were a bunch of times that then you keep going.
Right, right, right. And then you're like, oh, shit, I'm sitting here typing. I might as well just yeah.
And it was that's actually so cool. Really fun.
Oh, that's awesome.
Actually just saying out loud, I'm like, why not give it a shot? Yeah.
That, I'm into it.
Yeah.
I need something that kickstarts my productivity
just
or like
10 minutes. I'm 10 I gotta minutes get like is something.
I always joke like, oh, man, I'm not getting anything done. But it's been... If it's been half a year and you wrote one page a day, you have a pilot.
Oh my God.
Yeah. If you write one page a day for, yeah. I mean, if you write one page a day for a month, you have a pilot.
Yeah.
And a page a day is completely doable, but I cannot, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, I think also part of it is just having like, I've gotten into pens and paper and all that.
You kind of need your little.
But I like having just. And so much of what I write is just straight garbage. Like, seriously, so much of what I write is about literally pens and paper, which is like...
Just to get the movement going, just to get the brain going from head to paper.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that book, the 5-Minute Journal or whatever. I forget what it's called. Oh, no, it used to be up here. I forget what it was. This guy, Brian Koppelman, talks about, and it's like you wake up every morning and write for 5 minutes. Just like anything. Just spew. And it's just like... inspires your brain to like get into that.
It's something because then I start getting into a thing of just like having a full notebook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Shit. Yeah. I don't know. I got to figure out what my block is.
You don't.
Yeah.
Actually don't need to figure out what the block is.
I just got to.
Just do 5 minutes.
Yeah. Right. Right. Exactly.
You know what I mean? I can say that. Yeah. But it really is that Eugene thing of like but set a timer.
Yeah.
And you know what it is about improv that's really nice is how disposable it is. And writing doesn't have that, it feels like.
Right.
But it's actually super disposable.
Yeah.
And also the nice thing about doing a timed writing, which is the pen keeps moving no matter what, is if nothing comes from it, so what? It was 10 minutes.
Right. It was only 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even it was only half an hour. Who cares?
Right. Right. I'm sitting here telling you I waste an inordinate amount of time. Oh, right.
We all do.
Right. So if I waste a half hour actually writing, like it's not a waste at that point.
But also like start at 5 minutes.
Right.
That's what I like too of like.
It sounds like treat it with the same rules as exercise when you're having a hard time.
Which is what, so, and maybe this is the same thing. It's also hard when you've done something to go back. Because I've like done marathons.
Right.
Like a couple of them.
And now if you tried to get out there and run a quarter mile, it would be hard on the knees and the lungs. And you'd be like, it's like me. I'm wearing a fucking weightlifting club shirt right now. I used to be a big, strong power lifter. And now I'm like, I don't want to like get back to it.
But it's like, why are we letting an achievement get in our way of doing anything?
Right. Right. That's like saying like I wrote one good screenplay already and I don't know if I can do it again.
Right.
Yeah.
And also it feels, and also not only I don't know if I can do it, I can't do it again.
I can never do it as good as I did it that time. Why bother doing it?
Exactly. Yeah. And so if I'm going to sit down and write a piece of shit, and it's like, yeah, but you write a piece of shit, then at least you've written a piece of shit.
Right. And it's still, you have a piece of shit to show.
Yeah. I did just start run walking again this week. I went 3 times.
Oh, nice.
And once I could get the fuck out of my head of like, I can't believe you're already. And I was like, oh, I forgot that I actually like movement.
Yeah. It's like to remind yourself what it feels like afterwards is like a very like you go out there and you're like, I'm like, oh, I hate running. Then you're like, fuck it. Let me just go for a run. You do a run. You're like, it's been like 3 years and I feel a little sore. I feel a little. And this is what I'm supposed to feel like.
I remember hearing you on a podcast. Was it you? Of doing it in the morning and being like, oh my God, this is how I should do it all the time.
That's me.
As soon as you realized it, never doing it again.
Right. That's exactly what I'm dealing with.
Have you read The Four Tendencies at all? Gretchen Rubin.
Oh no, I've read The Four Agreements. Is that something different? I have that book somewhere.
But she talks about four tendencies of that we have as people. Some people are uphold. It's all how you deal with expectations, and it's upholders. They will follow societal expectations and their own personal ones. And obligers have an easier time following societal expectations or versus their own or other people, I should say. And then questioners have an easier time following their own expectations more than other people's. And then rebels can't follow if anybody else wants it from them, including themselves.
Oh.
And I'm a rebel.
I think I might be that too.
It's a cool quiz to do. It's a really easy quiz to find online. And at first you're like, fuck, rebel is the worst. Because anytime I tell myself, including with pens, like I'm not buying, I don't need another pen. I don't need another bottle of ink.
Yeah.
I've more bottles of ink than I am going to use before I die.
Yeah, more bottles of ink than anyone in the 21st century.
It's really bad. If I say that to myself, I will buy a bottle that day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the same thing of like, oh my God, this feels so good. I should do this every day. And I'm never doing it again.
This again is probably me just coming up with more excuses, but maybe part of it for me, because you're saying that when I'm not thinking about it is when it starts to happen naturally. And I'm often not thinking about it when I'm busy.
Yeah.
Like when I'm like working, did a couple of writing jobs this year that were like 12 days on the same set, same thing. And that's when I was like, eating the healthiest and like waking up the earliest. And I was like, oh, my brain isn't sitting here going, you need to do it. You know, I already have something else I need to do.
Yeah.
Now this other stuff is kind of just clicking for me.
Yeah. There's something about a should that makes me want to fuck. Like it's my least favorite word in the world. Even when I'm saying it to myself.
Yes. Yes. Holy shit. Yeah. Should is hard.
And it's interesting with these tendencies with like, you know, obligers. It's like, if you want to start a habit, then make yourself accountable to somebody else, like a trainer or take a class.
Right.
And questioners, it's like it has to make sense to you.
Yeah. So find what makes you the happiest to do.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And like upholders, at first as a rebel, I was like, oh, that's the best. Because then you get all your shit done on time. But apparently like it can get so rigid that they'll be on vacation and be like, well, it's 9:30. I have to go to bed. And then it's 5 o'clock.
Right. Right.
And apparently rebels, there's a lot of good to rebels.
Cool. Yeah, I'm going to dive in on this. The four tendencies. I'm going to check this
out. It's interesting. There's a lot that's not as interesting. But
that's pretty much how I feel about all new age self-help type stuff is like I get 35% of it that I'm actionable or like it sticks to me and that I have a hard time. That's also how I feel about like acting classes in general is like 35% of it. I'm like interesting. 65% of it. I was like, this is all bullshit to me. I have a hard time.
Did you watch Better Things at all?
I'm almost done with the second season.
Isn't it amazing?
It's so good. It's criminally under talked about as well. She's amazing.
She directed every episode in that second season.
I just watched the Eulogy episode. I'm getting like all my forearm hair is standing up. You see goosebumps.
Yeah.
The Eulogy episode was like one of the best episodes of TV I've ever seen.
The second season blew my mind. But did you see the one with the acting class in it yet?
Yes.
I was like, oh, I feel like I was just in a really good acting class.
I said to Tiffany, because a big thing is Tiff's like wants me to take more acting classes and I have a hard time because I don't like the other actors.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone annoys me with their questions. Right. You heard my opinions on Q&A and I'm like, I think my bullshit meter is cranked up too high to tolerate acting classes. So I'm like, oh, maybe I'll find a coach I like and work one-on-one. But then I watched that and I was like, I turned to my wife. I'm like, if she wasn't my acting teacher, this would be the happiest I've ever been in my life.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like, that was such a cool episode.
It really was.
And that's just so awesome. That's just someone who's been doing it for so long, just knows what the truths are and is like, here are 20 things I wish I could have said to someone in an acting class and I'll put it in my show and it's fucking great.
And we were talking in the beginning of where I was like, improv people don't want to see like a scene about auditions or think you don't watch TV and see an acting class, but that was fascinating.
That was
and I've
really
never
good.
Seen it.
Yeah.
And even like the not good acting, I was like, that was
that's hard to
exactly
do.
Exactly right.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a very specific choice. Like you're doing a very specific form of.
Like they cast the shit out of that.
Yeah, it's perfect. All the types.
Oh my
so
God.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's keep rattling off some podcast episodes as we get close to end here.
Okay, so pens. So, and it's actually was listening to Don't Get Me Started because somebody came on about planners. I don't remember her name.
Yeah, I don't remember her name either. That she's like someone I don't know personally.
Yeah, so but she was like the travel notebook.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went down this rabbit hole about. It started with this notebook that I do morning pages every morning with the three
morning pages. That's what I was thinking.
Oh yeah, that's called the Artist's Way.
Yes, and.
Yeah, the Artist Way.
Yes, that's what I was thinking of when I was saying the morning journals.
Yeah. And the best part of this is like, you just do it and that, like, you're not supposed to reread them. You can fucking throw them away if you want. Or in the beginning where you're doing it, she's like, just put them somewhere, week 9 or whatever. I'll have you a way to go through it. And then every once in a while, you'll be like, I just wrote a fucking poem? Like, yeah. How did that happen? But most of the time, it's just like, it's meditating on paper.
Right.
So... it's just like, blah, 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 blah. But then when you're done, you just feel like, oh. And she says, do it very first thing. Here's how I do it so that I've done them every single day for years now, any time of day. Like if you can do them first thing, great.
But if you, if
but
you're
I'd
like,
rather do them than not do them.
Right. And if you're like, I got to get up, get out of the house or coffee, yeah. Walk Tulip, whatever. And
yeah.
And then you're like, oh, it's 5 p.m. I have my time. Let me sit down. And
yeah. And then I started feeling like it doesn't really matter that I do them because I do them all the time. And it felt like this is not an accomplishment at all. And so I stopped. And that's when I stopped doing them. And I was like, fuck me. Like, why am I taking? And the same thing happened with running. Because I was like, it doesn't matter. I've run marathons. Like, I'm still whatever. I just.
You forget the enjoyment you get out of it.
Yeah.
And that's like how I feel about lifting weights where I'm like, oh, man, I'll never be that strong. I'll never squat 405 again. And then I'm like, but it wouldn't it feel good to just go squat?
Yeah. And also like. Yeah, I took away the achievement of like, yeah, it is cool that I do it every day. So the notebook that I was using for morning pages all of a sudden became, I couldn't find them anywhere. And like in the world of online, you're like, what?
What? Something I want is inaccessible?
Totally. And then it was like only accessible from Germany. And it was like, what the fuck? So then I found this podcast because I love podcasts called The Pen Addict.
Holy shit.
And the first...
it's just like a woman named like Rami Tager. And she's like.
And her co-host is a dog. And they are in love.
Like, every once in a while you find a piece of media that you're like, I'm positive this is just for me.
No, it's two dudes.
Oh, wow.
One of them is British. And one of them is like from Atlanta. Brad Dowdy, the Pen Addict. And like the first episode is not great. The first episode is like, ha, like exactly what you picture of like, well, a gel point is, you know,
yeah, like they're not
a rollerball.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they know, but also like, it's so boring.
Right, right.
But I still cut to 250 hours later. I've listened to all of it.
About pens.
Pens, stationery. I have traveled to 2 pen shows. I went to see a live fucking broadcast of this for their 100th episode.
That's awesome, though.
And, you know, it has cost me thousands of dollars on fountain pens. Yeah. I'm in a Slack. Do you know what Slack
is? Yeah, yeah.
I've never been on any of those internet forum things. I'm fully, like, at Tambone on the Pen Addict Slack. I almost got into awesome. Like a weird, that's, there's been a weird like controversy this past week and it's been all I
the
can do.
The pen community is up in arms.
Oh my God. And there is like, there is a company that I am not a fan of. It's like all I can do to not. And it's like, oh, it's December and we're all just like unleashing our rage
right,
at
yeah.
each other. It's like there's, oh my God. And then you like take a step back and you're like, oh. None
Whoa.
Of this matters.
Yeah. Yo, that's like the thing my wife and I always, Tiff and I always say whenever we're like really complaining about work, we go, we are not military doctors. You know, like we are not Doctors Without Borders.
Yeah.
We are not ER. You know, it's like we're not.
My brother's a brain surgeon.
I know. And it's like we're like, I'm like going off about something and I'm like. The other thing I do, and this is my barometer, is like, could I tell my dead dad straight to his face? Could I make this complaint? A man who worked 12 hours a day for 30 years to feed a family who barely gave a shit about him. And could I look at him in the face and go, they kept us till 9 p.m. on this? You know, like, could I say that to him without being like, I'm humiliated.
Well, I lost my mind yesterday because I was meeting with a friend who's writing, and he was like, they told us for lunch not to order dessert or drinks. And I was like almost flipped over a table. What? And he's like, and there is not much food in the office.
That's bullshit. That's bullshit. Oh, man, of course you're into a Pens podcast. And then the podcast that I'm into that I would say is a holdover from my old to Tammy is the Pens as I am too. I listen to the Jocko podcast. Jocko Willink is a former Navy SEAL turned like leadership advocate.
Amazing.
And he's a very interesting guy. He's like fucking got awards up the yin yang, fought in the Gulf War, all that shit. And his voice is actually like this. And he reads, he reads passages from like war books and like the way of the warrior, the samurai story, and he'll read a passage and then talk about it, or he'll read something about like a soldier's account from like World War II and then stop reading and go, this is something not a lot of people talk about, is the world will, you'll, will be so small in these moments. And like he like gives his personal experience to like being in firefights and all this shit.
Sounds,
and it's
amazing,
so cool. And then, but he's also like half motivational speaker.
I
like,
love a good motivational speaker.
He's like, get up in the morning and get after it. People say there's no such thing as, like, people say you can run out of willpower, so get the stuff out of your house. I say willpower makes you stronger. You know, he's like, it's the Jocko podcast. It's like, he's the coolest. And when you see him, he looks like a fucking superhero or a supervillain. He's got like a square, bald head, super muscular. He's fucking... it's like he's amazing to listen to. It makes you feel like people live a life, people live lives out there that you couldn't even like begin to fabricate the steps. He's like, I get up at 3:15 in the morning. And I'm like, what?
Well, that's the side of Corolla that I wish there was just all of, is his like, take a walk, listen to classical music, then do the, have you ever heard his like,
yeah, well, he's like a legendarily hardworking guy. Yeah.
And I do like his side where he's like, this is what you're doing wrong. And it sounds like it would be a horrible boss. Right. It would be like, this is what you're doing wrong. But it would
but
also
at the same
be
time,
kind
it's
of
what
amazed.
You want in someone every once in a while.
Yeah. I kind of would love, like,
I think that's why we like Pam's acting class.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you're doing this bullshit. And you're like, ow, that hurts. But thank you. Like,
yeah. And also her being like, people want to see your phone. Like, she gave you a thing to do.
Yeah. People want to see you do your. Yeah. Yeah. That's
yeah.
So awesome.
Yeah.
Tammy, thank you so much for coming on
High
and Mighty.
Such a pleasure.
I think it's safe to say that this is just part one. Because I had a blast. I knew I would. I was excited to do it. When I come back to New York, or awesome. If you're ever out here again, let's fire up another one. Arthur would love it. Oh. The only reason Arthur's not in here anymore, I think, is because Tiffany is home. And that's...
And he closed the door.
Yeah, I closed the door because he was going to start barking. Yeah. Well, he can push this open.
Oh, okay.
This does not... He has the ability to walk with his little snub nose and just... bash a door until it opens. He's not afraid of that. He moves chairs by hitting his face against it until it's out of his way.
He's so sweet, you guys. Podcast audience, he's really sweet.
So Tammy, where are you on Twitter if people want to recommend Pants? You don't even follow it.
No, I mean, Twitter is not great. It's just every once in a while an outraged retweet about like, can you fucking believe what's happening? Yeah. And it's not even me. It's just a retweet. Right. But Instagram.
You Tambo?
Tulip Bone.
Yeah. Tulip Bone.
Do you
want
to see some pens or some dogs?
Oh, hey. And who doesn't like both of those things? And Tammy, thank you so much for
such
coming on.
Such a pleasure. Thank you.
I'm at John Gabris. Buy a shirt at gabris.com/shirts. Listen to Action Boys, Raised by TV. All that shit. And of course, if you rate me 5 stars and roast me in the comments, I will read it on the air. Goodbye, shitheads.
Bye.
Bye.
Funky Go Medina.
That was a HeadGum podcast.